Good evening and welcome to another episode of Agar Meditation. And today the topic that was given to me was, what is your role in your family? Breaking all beliefs and barriers, here is a new understanding of what is my role in my family. In most family situations, we believe that the man of the house is the provider and the women and the children are the consumers. This has been the common understanding in a family. And the man will come home and the women and the children have to understand him that he has had a long day and that they need to cooperate with him and they need to provide everything that he asks for. But truly, a family situation is entirely different from what we commonly perceive. Just because the woman does not voice her concerns, voice her likes, doesn't mean that she is cooperating with the situation. This is why this episode, what is my role in my family, becomes so important. So as we progress today, I will discuss with you several realizations that have come about regarding the role of every person in a family. So let us now begin with the Maypole meditation so we can raise our awareness and bring ourselves to a plane of mental awareness so we can absorb, assimilate this new understanding that will help us improve our own family ties and relationships. Now think, imagine, visualize or feel that you are sitting in a golden circle of light. The circle is on the ground and the size of the circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In front of you, imagine a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can replace the sphere with any name and form of God that you worship. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walk up to this tall pole and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your ribbon. Walk back to your seat connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, anxiety, any clutter, any mental disturbance that you may be carrying within you, either physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, or any other way. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress that you may feel in any part of you. Release any kind of emotional pain, any intellectual pain. We are working with the unconscious memory. All you have to do is to just say that I release all my pain and distress that I am carrying within me. Repeat these words in your mind silently, in harmony with my Divine Self. I choose to release all pain and distress from every part of my being, from all directions of time, and from all planes of existence now. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences, negative emotions. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, any fatigue, or even a sense of weakness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this unconditional love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, any sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, and anything else that you wish to release. come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. What is my role in my family? Contrary to normal belief, truly, a family is a unit of people given to us for our understanding. Our understanding of ourselves. The more I understand myself, the more I have an opportunity to accept myself, accept my behavior, accept my ways, my responses, my reactions, my judgments, my fears, my inhibitions, my sorrows, my griefs, my anger, my frustrations, my irritations, my agitations, my restlessness, my anxieties. Everything that I experience is something that I blame a family member. I feel like this because of you. This is how we choose to behave. But in reality, the family is just given for us to understand these are the emotions that we are experiencing. When we understand this reality, and when we learn to accept our deficiencies, which are born out of our ignorance, that is when true love will blossom. My spouse is my greatest strength because she is the one who reflects the most. Every time I react with my spouse, it's an opportunity for me to question my reaction. It's an opportunity to question my behavior through introspect, to actually introspect what is the reason I'm behaving like this. As you accept your relationship with your family as an opportunity for you to learn, as an opportunity for you to introspect, the better you'll become as a family member. You will set an example of being the level head of the family. It is important for you to understand this reality that each family member has to learn his or her journey, has to learn about himself or herself by reflecting through the other family members. That is what a family is meant for. But unless we go through the experiences of a family environment, family setting, we will not come face to face to introspect the situation or the experience. It's only when we introspect that we truly learn. Let me share an experience with you. Many years ago, when my daughter was barely about 6 years old, her dance guru asked us to come to a place which is about 15 kilometers away and said that your daughter needs to watch this performance so she can pick up all the dance moves that we are going to teach her in the future. So we were supposed to leave at 6 in the evening to reach this destination at 6:30. So I instructed my wife to be ready at 6 p.m. So the moment I arrive, we can leave. So I closed my office, locked it up, and arrived sharp at 6 p.m. expecting my family members to be ready. The moment I arrived, my wife told our daughter, "Dad has come, quick, get ready." That was enough for me to lose my temper. All through the journey from our home to the destination, I kept admonishing, judging, blaming, and doing everything I possibly could to destroy my wife's emotional stability. We reached the destination and neither me nor my wife could enjoy the performance on stage. But my daughter was, being the young girl, was glued to the stage and she watched every move that was there. On the way back, we were very quiet and this gave me time to introspect. What was this all about? What was the reason I reacted? And with my introspection came the answer that I had given my time, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. to my family members. How they choose to use this time is entirely up to them. So 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. is my time with them. Whether they leave at 6 p.m., they leave at 6:10, 6:15, 6:30, or whether they cancel, it doesn't matter. But that 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. is my time to them. This realization stays till date. And now I tell them their vehicle will leave at this time with them or without them. There's no anger. And all of them responsibly get into the vehicle. And we have become really amicable. This is one of my greatest learnings that I have from so many years, which has really mended my relationship. So it's important for each one of us to work with our family situations to understand how I can improve my relationship with my family. When I improve my relationship with my family, the world is child's play. But we always try to be nice to the outsiders and we try to be our nastiest selves with our families. It is important for us to reverse these behaviors, that we have to be extremely nice to the family because these are the people who tolerate us. These are the people who want to give us the best of what they can. Nobody else wants to do that for us except our family members. And that's why it's important for us to be nice to the family members. So from today, let us make this a resolve to be nice to our family members. You don't have to be tolerant. Never tolerate, but always observe. Observe the behaviors. Observe how they choose to express. Observe the tonality. Observe the choice of words that they use. And if you feel that the behavior is inappropriate, you can ask with kindness, do you think this behavior was appropriate? Allow the answer to come from introspection. We don't have to become judges to deliver verdicts about a behavior or a choice of words or a tonality. We can always allow every family member to introspect and come with an answer. As I have always told in all these sessions and even in my consultations, never apologize. You can go to your family member. If you have behaved in a way which is inappropriate, you can go to your family member and tell them, I behaved badly. I'll correct myself. You don't have to apologize. An apology is a realization that you did something either carelessly, out of turn, or you were conscious, willful, and deliberate. Either ways, it is important for us to realize that we need to work with ourselves. So here is a question. What do you mean when you say you don't have to tolerate? It means that when someone is getting angry, you don't have to tolerate their anger. If someone is being nasty verbally, or someone is throwing things around, you don't have to tolerate. What you have to do is to just observe. Do not indulge. Just observe. And when the showdown of that anger has simmered down, you can ask Was this behavior appropriate? Allow that reflection to come from within. When realizations happen, people do not repeat. But when realizations are given as a sermon to someone, it's usually met with reaction. Sometimes to the extent that they question you. So it's important for every person to reflect and come up with a realization about their own behavior. Remember, our behavior has got nothing to do with anyone else. Our behavior is to do with how I am feeling at this moment. Talking about the human physiology, the human body, it's very simple. Do you know that when you are hungry, your body does not go through a reaction? Hunger is a beautiful feeling. When your body is feeling hunger, you're just feeling hungry. But when you carry a feeling of anger, agitation, frustration, irritation, coupled with hunger, it turns into a migraine headache. But take away the emotions. Hunger is a beautiful feeling. This is how the body works. So your body itself is a mirror which is reflecting to you, telling you what kind of emotions you are carrying. So these are just indicators. Well, you cannot just plug the indicators and throw them out. You cannot just want to be okay from the indicators. You have to work with yourself. The moment you let go of your anger, the moment you let go of your agitation and frustration, irritation, your migraines will simply cease to exist. So every family member is like your body, indicating to you through your reactions about the emotions that you are carrying. There are a few simple practices that we can do to overcome our own emotional disturbances. Some of these practices, which are on our websites of agarhealing.com and narichikitsa.com, like the practice of mahupeksha, practice of forgiveness, a very powerful practice. I remember many years ago, I gave this practice to one lady who had breast cancer, and the cancer had gone into the bones. So we saw the PET scan, and she had gone through 17 sessions of intravenous chemotherapy. After 17 sessions, she discovered that the medicines were not working on her. So she stopped all the chemotherapy or the remedial therapies, and then she wanted to do something with herself. At that time, she was feeling extremely lethargic, unable to wake up in the morning. She was not active, her eyes were dull, her voice was fragile and feeble. And at that time is when I did her Nadi Pariksha, and I realized that there is emotional distress, emotional pain, and that she needs to work with her memory. We started using Mahopeksha as the tool. She started working with the memories, and in 3 months' time, when the next PET scan was taken, I still remember her voice in my ear as if she called me yesterday. She said, "Mahesh, I have the PET scan, and I see that the cancer has gone away from the bones." So I told her, "Soumya, can you bring more life into your voice? Because this is a time for celebration, because the cancer is gone off several places in the body." So all illnesses that we carry in our body are essentially the consequences of our behavior, of our reactions, our judgments, our beliefs. Whatever the symptom you talk about, most of them are born out of how we choose to evaluate and judge life. The family is the perfect setting for us to improvise our lives. We are born, this body that is given to you is born primarily to work out your karma. This body is not given to you to build your house, to make your money, to enjoy life. That's not what it's given for. It's given to work out your karma. If house is something that you had to accomplish for many lifetimes, that's what will end up happening. If a lot of money is what you have to earn to finish that cycle of deprivation, that's what will happen. So everything that's happening today in your life is essentially a consequence of all the thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, behavior that you have been carrying on for several lifetimes. So stop taking credit for everything that's happening in your life. This is the result of your karma. You have put your effort in a particular direction because karma decided so. Karma directed you to put effort in a particular direction. And when it means a particular direction, it may not always be the way you want. This is why there are certain people who put in a lot of effort to get a very little gain. And there are certain people who put very little effort to get a large gain in their life. Unconditionally, everything is governed by karma. So is your family. This is the perfect setting for you to work out your karma. This is the reason why it is said that a family or a marriage is a shortcut to self-realization. It is perceived as a joke, as humor, but it's not. It is true. It is real that family and marriage is the shortcut to self-realization. So in a family, you have your spouse, your parents, your in-laws, on both sides, your siblings, all the relationships simply transform the day you get married. Until then, your own siblings, your parents, they relate with you quite differently. But the day you get married, their relationship with you transforms. And as you grow into your in-laws relationship, your spouse's family, the new relationships, all of these are karmic. None of them are by accident. All of these are karmic, which means that the choices are either made at that moment or have already been made, and which is how you end up in a relationship. But either way, they're all here for your learning. And make the best use of your opportunity. This opportunity, this life that's been given to you. It's a blessing that you have the power of reasoning, that you have the power to make choices. You have the power to analyze. You have the power and the ability to reflect, to resonate, to understand, to accept, and to grow. This life is truly a blessing for each one of us who have come here at this time and are even listening to these words. These words are coming through me, not from me. And these words are for all of us to work with ourselves, to continuously grow, so we can once again merge back into that source from where we all have come. Unless you empty yourself completely, which means unless you empty and end everything in unconditionality. Everything has to be unconditional. Every relationship has to be unconditional. Every memory has to be unconditional. Every behavior has to be unconditional. Every belief has to be unconditional. When all these behaviors, beliefs, everything that we have in our storehouse called the unconscious memory is unconditional, we are then truly free. And that's when we are empty and we can merge back into the light. If we don't empty ourselves, we'll be sent back to empty ourselves. So this is a great opportunity that we have, which is why we started the other group of working with ourselves at a deeper level, removing all our impressions that we are carrying, which prevents us from being free. And this work is something that we all need to do, but a lot of members of the group have become very, very lazy. They become very slow and sluggish and are not working with themselves enough. We need more and more people to wake up, to embrace this work, so we all can free ourselves from these limiting beliefs, behaviors, judgments, and all that holds us back. So let us all work with our inner selves. Let us all work with the core beliefs, the behaviors, the judgments that we hold on to. The practices are all uploaded. As I'm getting more practices, I'm uploading them on the website so you all can have access to it. These practices must be independent of me, which is why I'm putting them up on the website, so you do not need me. It's important for all of you to do this practice so you can improve upon yourself, you can grow. Are there any questions? Yes, Rashi.
I have a doubt. Is there any, when you say introspect, are there, is there any possibility that some don't introspect or there's no awareness? Is that a possibility that somebody doesn't introspect?
Would it be okay for you to ask for yourself rather than asking for someone else?
Oh, sorry, sir.
Ask for yourself.
I feel everybody would introspect.
I don't know. That's not what I'm asking about.
I didn't understand.
I'm asking you if you have any questions pertaining to anything to do with your own self.
For my own self?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, so for me, how do I, in a family, when there's someone who's very difficult also, how do we, deal with that person? However, we try our best and it doesn't happen.
What doesn't happen? What doesn't happen?
I mean that harmony doesn't come.
Harmony is internal.
Okay.
Harmony is not external. You could stay calm and in a beautiful state, even in the most violent setting, if you did not have any clutter inside you. You do not require others to be peaceful for you to be peaceful. Is this clear?
Yes, sir. So your voice is a little, there's a little disturbance, but what I understood is we, individually, we should be in a right state.
Say, I should be.
I should be in the.
You should be. I should be established in love and in harmony, so I can experience love and harmony.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with anyone else. If someone is choosing to be angry and upset and nasty, you can choose not to communicate with the person.
Okay.
It's okay for the person to be like that, even if the person is your spouse or your brother.
Okay.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Are there any other questions? How many of you fail in retaining harmony? How many of you lose it? So if you are losing your cool, then how come you don't have any questions? I'm just going to lower everyone's hand. So does anybody have any questions? Yes, Sumesh.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So in family, if the kids are like, as my kid is like, it is just teenage. Mm-hmm. So whenever, see, for everything, you'll get angry.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is that like parents, we need to become cool and we need to give time for him to come back. So how to handle this type of?
There is a certain thing called firmness. You have to be firm. All right? So, for example, if your son is your son, if your son is getting angry, you have to be firm in saying that if you are going to throw your tantrums, you're not going to have dinner. And the other thing you can do is, the way we do in our house is that we have good boy, bad behavior. We tell the child, this, you are a good person, but your behavior is bad. You can do likewise to your son, saying that you are a good boy, but why such nasty behavior? And we need to punish your mind. So we need to starve the mind. And the only way to starve the mind is to put away the gadgets for a good one day or not have a meal so that you reprimand your behavior. Is this clear?
Yes. Yeah.
So you always have to, the way we do it, we tell our children, good boy, bad behavior, good girl, bad behavior. And then give a whack on the hand, we're using a scale or using a stick. We do give a reprimanding on the hand, but having said that, good boy, bad behavior. So it doesn't come from our anger. We are not angry. So if we are angry, then we are actually revealing a bad example. So if you're not angry, we are very much in our awareness, and we tell the child that you are a good child, but your behavior is not good, and so you need to reprimand your behavior, show your hand. And the child doesn't like being reprimanded, because we say that it's your ego, it needs to reprimanding or else it will not become silent. And once we give it back, the child cries for some time. We just allow the child to cry. And after that, we call the child and say that, was your behavior appropriate? The child says, no, it wasn't. Okay, so what did you learn? The child says, I learned that I have to improvise upon my behavior. We say, yes, that's good. So how do you want to do it? I will listen to whatever you say. I say, that's good. So we have a very healthy environment, even in bringing our child to a realization that they need to be in their good behavior. This is something we need to do. But I have a question for you. Which member of your family, apart from your son, throws anger around?
My younger son. My elder son is just a teenage, and my younger is... So there is a competition in between them.
No, the competition, so, I understand the competition is there. But how about the parents?
So I'll be getting anger, but my wife, she is handles normally.
Usually, we fail to point a finger at ourselves that we are the examples the children follow. Many a times. I remember many years ago, I was having dinner at my parents' house and my daughter was sitting beside me. We were finishing dinner and I just looked at my daughter and she was licking each and every finger and licking her palm. It was looking so ugly. So I looked at her and I asked her, "Where did you learn this from?" She looked at me in the eye and she said, "From you." And I felt so horrible. I said, "Is this how I look when I'm licking my fingers? That's so ugly." So from that very day, I stopped licking my fingers and she stopped licking her fingers. Children learn by observing. And we are very quick in blaming our children, but fail to point finger at ourselves. So we need to set the example and our children will follow likewise. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any other questions? Good. So there are, so we always must practice, every single day we must practice. The reason is, we are all adults out here. We are all, most of us are parents out here. Most of us have children. Which means that you must know someone out there, or maybe your children, is taking you for an example. Everything that you do, your child or your children are silently following it. It is getting into their unconscious memory. Even though they are not replicating it or copying it right then and there. I remember there was this lady who has three daughters. And this lady told me, as the daughters were growing up, I used to visit their home, and she told me, "Mahesh, I have not allowed my daughters to even fold a blanket. I fold their sheets, I make their bed, I cook meals for them, I do literally everything for them. I don't allow them to do even a single thing." I wondered, how is she enabling her child? We all have this question in our mind. If you don't do it now, how are you going to become responsible? This is one of the questions that we have in our mind, and we always throw these questions at our children. But this is what happened in this lady's case. The older daughter, she went to Canada and joined a university. And within the next year, the other two twin daughters joined the older daughter, and all three of them joined the same university in Canada. And this lady visited her children after about 6 months. And when she returned, she called me and she said, "Mahesh, I'm extremely happy today. I'm happy today because my children are doing everything that I used to do." The children had unconsciously registered everything the mother was doing. And they simply replicated, even though they had not done even a single act until they left their homes. That's the effect of our behavior. Our children silently copy, silently resonate with everything that we are doing, and simply copy our behavior. So it's important for us to be responsible in what we do. It's important for us to continuously practice and improvise upon ourselves. That is truly the role that we have in our family. This is the reason why a family is given to you. So you can improvise and you can continually improve and continually guide all those people who are silently watching you and taking you for an example. If you have any questions, you can send it to the group and we'll get the answers which will benefit everyone. It's important for you to practice. So if you are carrying any emotional burden, please do not tolerate. Please use the Mahopeksha audio to work with yourselves. It's necessary. It's available both on the nadichikitsa.com website for you to download and have your personal copy. Or you can use the Agar Healing website, where there also we have a Mahopeksha audio, so you can listen to it. And with this, we'll come to the end of this session. We'll connect again next Saturday, so we can once again renew our vows to free ourselves, from all the entrapments and contraptions we have gotten ourselves into. Have a beautiful weekend. Have a beautiful week. And let us practice, practice to free yourself. With lots of love, I'm signing off.